From the studios of Radio Sai at Prashanthi Nilayam, I am Chandu Vijay and this is Love to Love. And today we have a talk by Professor Sanjay Sahani, who is currently the Controller of Examination of the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. Sri Sanjay Sahani was a student of the first batch of the 5-year Integrated Commerce program in Swami's University. He won the gold medal for academic excellence both for his Bachelor of Commerce as well as Master of Commerce programs. Subsequently, Bhagwan blessed him to join as a faculty member in 1987 at the Prashanthi Nilayam campus. Later, he also served as the warden of the senior boys hostel at Prashanthi Nilayam and as the principal of the Brindavan campus. The topic for today's talk is Living the Sai Within. This talk was delivered in the Purnachandra Auditorium during the International Summer Conference in 2019 here in Prashanthi Nilayam. Stay tuned, dear listeners. After the talk, we have some soulful bhajans from the album series Bhavanjali. And at 3:30 p.m, we have the live Telugu segment Sri Sathya Sai Divya Sandesha Jhari. With that, over to Professor Sanjay Sahani.
Offering my loving pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet, esteemed elders, sisters and brothers, it's been a wonderful morning for me personally. I had one satsang in the college. We have started the Srimad Bhagavatam Saptaha, 7 days of narration of the stories of the Lord. And just before the prayer started, Swami dropped a flower at his photograph. So he said, wow, you know, the Lord is there ready to receive the stories of His glory even before the prayer session has started. And the theme for my talk today is Living the Sai Within. So Swami would often tell us that, you know, whatever you say, speak from your own experience. And so when Brother Alex suggested this topic to me, I thought, well, this is something which I can speak from experience. So I'm comfortable with it. The first thing I would like to say is that having experienced Swami in so many dimensions, because He is a multidimensional phenomena, my own experience is that the Sai within and the Sai without are one. It's an artificial differentiation that we make, that the Swami within is different from the Swami outside us. But Swami gave me that understanding and that realization that these are not two, these are one. Let me start with an incident which happened in Kodaikanal. Swami was with the students and He had sent them on every day. There would be some new activity, if not in the residence of Bhagwan, it would be outside. So on that particular day, He had asked the students to go to a particular place in Kodaikanal called Silver Cascade. Basically, it's a waterfall, and from a height, the water is falling on the dark igneous rocks, so it makes a wonderful sight, and nobody who visits Kodaikanal misses the Silver Cascade. So whenever Swami would take a batch of students to Kodaikanal, one day He would send them to Silver Cascade, and that was that day. Now as they were going, it so happened that the bus stopped at one spot, and suddenly Swami came in. He left His own car and He walked into their bus, and the students were naturally very, very excited, because, you know, wow, what a personal, private audience you're having with Swami. And so somebody offered one of the seats, and Swami was sitting on the seat, and everybody was trying to go closer to Him, and they're wanting to touch His lotus feet. If they're not able to reach up to Him, they are touching the hem of His robe. So it was very, very intimate. and to ensure that nobody outside knows what's happening inside. So all the curtains had been drawn. So nobody outside, because generally when Swami's car is going, his devotees would line up on the road and, you know, they will peep in. So it was kept top secret. At one moment, the bus comes to a halt and somebody announces that Silver Cascade has arrived. The moment it was announced, everybody started, you know, became mobile. The curtains were drawn out, light started coming in, and everybody started watching this beautiful waterfall. And for a few precious moments, everybody was just watching the waterfall. Swami said something, but nobody had time even for what Swami was saying, till Swami repeated the same thing. And then suddenly it hit everybody like a thunderbolt. Swami said, "Beauty is outside. God alone is inside." All this while, they were so excited that Swami is with them and they want to talk to him, they want to touch him, and they want to, you know, do everything. And suddenly comes the Silver Cascade. Swami is still with you, but it means nothing. You know, suddenly you're so engrossed seeing the Silver Cascade, till Swami had to remind all of them, "I'm here." So this beautiful world God has created, very, very beautiful. In fact, Mr. Murthy once had this conversation with Swami, and Swami asked him, "What is the difference between andam and saundaryam?" And this was the answer which he gave Swami. He said, "Swami, andam is beauty, beauty which stimulates your senses, excites your senses, and makes you passionate, and that is what the world is. But saundaryam is that which stuns all your senses, you know. Your senses become numb. That is what happens to you when you come face to face with God. And that is why, you know, we say, He is saundaryam. Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram," we say. So, He is Sundaram because when you see Him, you become speechless. All your senses, you know, freeze and you forget yourself. So, Swami gave a beautiful message to all the students who were traveling with Him that day. Yes, the world is beautiful. Enjoy the world. But never, ever forget that God is there within, waiting for you, and He alone is waiting for you. He alone is waiting for you. I remembered another story which Swami would share with the students, because the theme of the first speaker's talk was the spiritual journey. And for understanding the spiritual journey, this particular story is very insightful. Swami said, there was this man who was going to another village. So it would take quite some time for him to return. And in those days there were no vehicles, people would go walking. So he packs his food and puts it in a bundle, and he is carrying the bundle with him, and he starts off early in the morning so that he doesn't have to face the hot sun. So finally it's noontime, and he has been under the sun for quite some time, and it is so hot, and he is so tired, and he is so exhausted. So he sees this shady tree, so he takes a halt, he goes under the tree, and he is very hungry. See, he opens the packet, and he has a sumptuous meal, and he feels that all the exhaustion of the morning's walk, morning's journey, is now gone, and he is ready for the next lap. Swami said, See, in this spiritual journey, God is like that food packet. Look at that man's condition. As long as he was carrying the food packet was a burden for him. As long as you consider God somebody outside you, mind Swami's words. Swami said, God will be a burden for you. Swami, Lord Sai, will be a burden for you. The day like that man, or the moment that man took that food and ate that food, he digested that food, that same food which was a burden a few minutes ago, now became the source of his energy. So what Swami explained through this story to all of us, he said, the moment you internalize God, God becomes the source of your power, source of your energy, source of your bliss. So what Swami was trying to drive home is that yes, when we start this journey, we say yes, that is Swami's chair, right? This chair cannot be Swami's. Somebody, you know, we had a small discussion after this talk, if there's a Q&A session, should we remove the second chair? And then I said, no, leave it there, because I know to answer if any questions are there, I will need Swami with me to answer the questions, because I myself will not know what to say, what will satisfy that individual who has a thought. I remember once it was Dasara time, and I was a speaker in the Sai Kulwant Hall that day. And Swami came and he looked at me and he looked at the person next to me and he said, who is the speaker today? And he was also surprised. I was also surprised. Swami is looking at me and very seriously he asked that question, and the gentleman said, Swami, he is the speaker today. And Swami said, Sanjay lay there. Sanjay is not there. And my heart leapt up in joy, because Swami said, this fellow is not there. So who's going to speak? That means the speaker of the day is Sai himself. So it was such a beautiful, beautiful experience for me. So coming back to the main part of my talk, and let me start with a conversation I had with Swami many years ago, because it literally maps the journey and is also linked to the thought for the day today, which incidentally happened to be a quotation which I had shared in this very hall the first time I gave a public talk as a first year undergraduate student in the university in Swami's presence. And these are words which I had used in my talk, which were obviously from his discourse. So this incident happened one day. We were told, we were first year undergraduate students in the institute, and we were told that today there is going to be a special prayer session. It was, I think, our study holidays time for the examinations. But that particular day, we were told that there's going to be a special prayer session, and the Vice Chancellor, Professor V.K. Gokak, is going to address all the students and faculty. And the reason was that for some reason, the prayer session had to be filmed. So that is why that special meeting was called. And we had that prayer session in the college. And the other students went back to the hostel because they were having exams. We were in a different examination scheme, so we didn't have the examination, so we came to the mandir. So I still remember, first year undergraduate students, all of us excited, because today in the mandir we are the only people who are sitting there, and I was sitting in the first row. And Swami came and he's looking at me all the time, and he came and asked me, what did your Vice Chancellor speak today? And can you believe it? He spoke for, I think, at least 20 minutes or so. But this is the kind of concentration we have, I could not remember one word that our vice chancellor had spoken that prayer session. And seeing that I am dumb, I am not opening my mouth, all my classmates who were, around me, they started, responding to Swami's question. And they were telling all that, but Swami is not looking at any of them, he is looking only at me. And he wants me to say, so because all of them were telling so many things, hearing, incidentally, the theme of the talk that day was on Jesus and the message of Jesus. So Swami was looking at me and he wants me to answer. So hearing all my friends answer Swami, I said, Swami, he spoke on the message of Jesus, I and my Father are one. I felt so relieved that at least some thought came back to my mind. And then Swami, not willing to leave so easily, he said, where did he say this? And I was absolutely clueless again. Where did he say it? I couldn't remember even this message. Where am I going to? And then again my friend started prompting. And Swami said, no. And then somebody said, Solomon's temple, Swami. And Swami said, no. Then somebody said, so because they said Solomon's temple, I prompted and said, Swami, Solomon's temple. No, not Solomon's temple. Not Solomon's temple. Then somebody said, Solomon's porch. So again, like a parrot, I repeated, Swami, Solomon's porch. Ah, that is the correct answer, he said. So I was again so relieved. But Swami is not willing to leave. He said, what did he say before that? Before that, having read the Bible in my childhood, so I somehow some thoughts came back and some part of Vice Chancellor's talk came back to me. I said, Swami, he said, I am the Son of God. And yes, and before that, what did he say? He said, Swami, I am the messenger of God. And then Swami went on to explain that whole occasion where Jesus gave that message of, I am the messenger of God. So it was a very, very embarrassing interaction I have had with Swami. And he literally rubbed it in. Hey, your vice chancellor spoke today and you were not paying attention. You could not remember anything. You couldn't remember the main points of his talk. But today when I look back at that conversation, I realized that I was reflecting on this sometime a few weeks ago, and this beautiful message came to me. When Jesus said, I am the messenger of God, I am the Son of God, I and my Father are one, actually he has mapped the entire spiritual journey. And as I contemplated on this spiritual journey, I also realized that the message is very, very simple. I am the messenger of God. What does it mean to me personally? What does it mean to me from the point of view of my sadhana? What does it mean to me from the point of view of my spiritual experience? And this is what came to me, the insight which came to me. When I say, or when I feel I'm the messenger of God, it is a stage when you experience, I love the Lord. I love Sai. That is a stage of I am the messenger of God. When you come to the second stage, I am the Son of God, what is the experience? The experience is, Sai loves you. The Lord loves you. And the third, I and my Father are one, is essentially when you realize I and Sai are not two, but one. So this is the spiritual journey which on that memorable day Swami, brought home to me in a very, very, he was literally my quiz master and sought to it that I learned the lesson well. So coming back to the theme of the conference, see, we are talking of living with Sai. Our living with Sai is not so important as does Sai live with you. You live with Sai, but does Sai live with you? So the first step, when you say that I am a messenger of Sai, I am living with Sai, what does it mean in practical terms? And also, what does it mean internally. So the first, I mean, along with my talk, I would also like to share some of the practices. Because, see, the practices that you do externally are a little different from the practices within, but both are related. And this came to me very, very spontaneously, naturally, when I was a young school kid. I had not even joined the university. And I took up this practice because we were far away. I was about 1,000 miles far away from Puttaparthi. Like somebody feels, you know, he's on the other side of the planet Earth if he's in United States of America. So 1,000 miles. And we couldn't come so often to Prashantalim as people who were staying in Prashanti experienced. So we used to have a small prayer altar in our house. And I picked up this practice as I got interested in reading about Swami and learning about Swami. I got into this habit of spending a few moments in our altar all alone, exclusively. And one of the practices that I didn't have the theory part. The theory came to me much later. I used to look at Swami's photograph, and in my own humble way, whatever I wanted to share with him, I would tell him. And in my own way, I would think that this is what he is answering to me. It's, of course, an imagination. It's like, you know, how small, if you've seen a small girl playing with a doll, and she'll be telling the doll something, and the doll is telling, replying, the girl only is replying, you know. So it's a conversation. But in the spiritual path, imagination is very important. And this I realized by reading the life of Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, who was a great spiritual giant, a great saint of India. He started his spiritual journey. He used to do worship. He was a priest in a temple, and he would have this idol of the mother goddess, and he would, you know, take her name, and he would keep on doing his worship. And for a long time, he never felt her presence. Means, I'm doing this worship to you, but are you really there? Are you there as a living presence? And one day, you know, Swami, I mean, is documented in a story, he said, I am not having that experience. So he takes the sword of the mother goddess and he wants to axe his own neck. At that moment, the mother manifests, holds his hand and gives him that experience that she is not merely stone, she is alive. So, if you look at the 16 kalas of the avatar, you know, avatar is God's descent on earth. Something very, very unique to Indian spiritual lore, that God, who is there somewhere, can come down on earth just to be with us, just to be, give us that feeling of intimacy, to give us that experience that He is always there for us. He comes down. There are two kalas of the avatar. Among 16 characteristics of an avatar, one is called the name, the other is called the form. Two very, very powerful aspects of an avatar. Now, what is special about these two facets of the avatar? The importance or the significance of these two facets is, as Swami Himself has underlined for us, wherever His name is taken, He is there. Wherever His form is there, it may be a photograph, it may be a statue, it may be whatever, in whichever way you visualize Him. Wherever His form is there, He is there. So much later, when I understood the aspects of an avatar, I realized that what I was doing in my prayer room, sitting in front of Swami's photograph, and trying to connect with Him. And initially, it was just an imagination. But one day, the photograph ceased to be an imagination, and you know, I heard His voice. And that was a life-changing experience for me. And over so many years, I have had that opportunity to listen to that voice. Now, to experience that, one of the important steps in sadhana, I realized, is silence. If you look at our spiritual organization, you take a small SSE student or a Balvika student, you take a university student, you take devotees wherever we gather. For example, you go to so many pilgrim spots all over the country, but you come to Prashantliam. One thing which really strikes you at Prashantliam, and this is something which Swami personally has built it into the culture of this place, is silence. You know, much before the time when we had Sevadal coming up and the organization itself, there were volunteers in the ashram and they would distribute volunteer service, and one important service which the volunteers would take up is the silence committee. Their duty was to go to all over the ashram and please request everybody, please maintain silence. Please maintain silence. Swami says, silence is the voice, is the speech of the spiritual seeker. Silence is the speech of the spiritual seeker, and it is only in the midst of silence that you will hear the voice of God. Now, especially when we are so active in the world, we are very afraid of silence. We're very afraid. You know, now if you see, for example, in India, people are going in a bus or in public transport, and apparently there's a 1 hour journey. Even there you find they're plugged into something and they're listening. You know, they don't want that silence. They don't want to be alone. But unless you are seeking to be alone, how will you listen to the voice of God? Because you have to still all external sounds, and the Lord is always waiting. You know, as Swami said, God is waiting inside. So listen to the voice of God. And I have had wonderful experiences. One experience I'll share with you. It was when I was a second year undergraduate student. And we had, as part of our sports and cultural activities in the university, as part of our sports meet, the cultural competitions had just started, and one of the events was an elocution competition. And we used to have impromptu, in the sense like one person is speaking and he speaks for 5 minutes and the next speaker will go and pick up his topic. And so it was my turn. I went and picked up my topic and I opened the slip. And my God, what a topic they gave me. To see the world in a grain of sand. Is it? In a grain of sand, we are going to see the whole universe. How is it possible? Only much later I realized that these are beautiful lines of William Blake. He says, to see the world in a grain of sand and heaven in a wild flower, hold eternity in the palm of your hand and infinity in an hour. Beautiful lines and very, very philosophical. But I didn't know English literature at that point of time. I said, Swami, this is going to be terrible. And one of my senior brothers said, hey, don't worry, I'll tell you some points. So he was whispering, and in the next few minutes they said, and now we have the next speaker, and I was asked to come to the mic. And my turn was over. Till today, I don't know what I spoke. And after my talk was over, I went and, you know, it was our auditorium, 1,000-seater auditorium, our college auditorium. I went and sat in the last round and said, what a terrible, terrible performance today. At that moment, I heard the voice of Swami and said, how did you speak today? And I said, Swami, again, it's totally heart to heart, internal. I said, Swami, this is the worst talk I have ever given in my life. And then he just said something. He said, witness my sankalpa. So all the speakers finished the talk. And now it was for the judges to announce the results. And they said, at the third position is Mr. So-and-so. At the second position is Mr. So-and-so. And at the first position is Mr. Sanjay Sani. On a day when I thought I have given the worst talk of my life, I don't know what I have spoken, and on a topic, you know, which is, doesn't make sense to me, on such a topic, they said, the next day, my English teacher, you know, hauled me up in the class, and he said, Sanjay, what happened to you yesterday in the competition? I said, sir, I was not in a proper frame of mind. And then he said, I also thought something like that must have happened to you, but I don't know what happened to the judges. I don't know. And you know, it hit me like a thunderbolt, what Swami had told me, witness my sankalpa. You know, on a day when you have done hopeless, on a day when your performance, you feel like disappearing under the ground, you don't want to show your face to anybody, on such a day, the world, at least the people who are nominated to be judges, have selected you as the best speaker of the day. Right? That is Sai Sankalpa. So I realized that, you know, that's the power of God. That's the power of God. So I had such many, many beautiful experiences of listening to the voice of God, listening to the voice of Sai within. But that comes with practicing silence. Very, very important. See, when you want to go into the inner journey, you must have first the tools with you. If you don't have the tools, the inner journey doesn't start. So I got the experience first, and only later on in life I realized the theory, and later on in life I realized what importance Swami gives to some of these things. So this is one very important sharing I'd like to give with all of you. Don't be uncomfortable with being alone with Sai. See, if you are, because we are so used to our relations, we are so used to our office people being around, we are so used to our organization people being around, we are so used to everybody being with us, that sometimes we forget that there's somebody waiting within all the time, waiting for you. The day you realize that the most important person in your life is waiting for you, waiting only for you, and waiting within you, that day is made, your life is made. The second important thing which I would like to share as again a habit for those who want to take up this inner journey is prayer. Again, if you look at the life of a student, right, from a primary kid right up to sometimes it looks, you know, very odd. You get up in the morning, you start with prayer. You go to school or college, you have a prayer. You sit for food, you have a prayer. You go to bed, you go, even before you retire for the night, you say prayer. What is this? You know, are we making some monks or sannyasins in the schools and colleges that Swami has started? No. Prayer is man's heart-to-heart connect with God. Heart-to-heart connect with God. It was the 25th anniversary of Dharmakshetra, Swami's mandir and place in Bombay city. And the organization there requested Swami, Swami, we want two students to come with you for the occasion and to share some of their thoughts with us. So the Swami picked up two students, not current students, old students. So two of us, myself, one of the teachers, we accompanied Swami. So one day Swami said, see, today I'm interacting with the Bombay youth, not necessarily devotees, and before my talk will be your talk. So you share some of your thoughts with them. So I was wondering, what will I tell the youth of Bombay, the commercial capital of India? So I thought, let me tell them about the quintessence of Sai education. And one of the things which I was sharing was on prayer. I said, the whole schedule has a lot of prayer. And then I said, you know why it is like that? Because prayer is man's greatest strength and God's only weakness. And Swami was sitting next to me. So I looked at Swami thinking, I have committed blasphemy. You know, in the presence of God, I have talked about his weaknesses. And I don't know, because I don't have personal sanction from him. It is not a quotation of his. Have I made a mistake? So I'm looking at Swami. Can I proceed or should I stop? Or, you know, what is his reaction? And Swami is calmly looking down. No reaction. So I got little confidence and I completed my talk. After that, Swami interacted with the youth and the session got over. And then we retired to our rooms. And Swami was visiting the room of one of the senior devotees, Colonel Jogarao, and we also followed into that small room. And Swami looked at me, and that was the first time we were so close to each other. And Swami expressed, "You have good thoughts." Mark his words. "You have good thoughts." And then he said, "God's weakness." God's weakness. I said, "Wow, I have hit the bull's target." From that day till today, I have never tired telling our students, "My dear students, prayer is God's weakness." Some of them, you know, would come and tell me, "Sir, don't tell, God has no weaknesses." I said, "Whether you accept it or not, I have got acknowledgement card from God that prayer is God's weakness. Prayer is God's weakness." But prayer doesn't necessarily mean, "Swami, I have no problems, so why should I sit for prayer?" It's not that. See, when we go to the mandir, it's not that you should, only when you have problems you should go to the mandir. Or only people who have problems should visit temples. You know, the people who are having no problems and they're very happy, they can be wherever they are. It's not like that. When you go into a prayer session with the Lord within you, or in front of you, or wherever you think that you are able to connect to Him, prayer is a time to be with the Lord. You may have nothing to ask Him, but you just go there to show your face, whether externally or internally. And He is very, very happy. He is very, very happy just to be with you. You know, when that phase of your life starts, when you're not living with Sai, but Sai lives with you, it's a very, very beautiful phase of life, because, you know, the thought for the day says, the first stage, the three steps of sadhana, "Swami, I belong to you." That is the first phase. "I am living with Sai. I love Sai." The second phase, Swami, "The Lord belongs to you." Now that's, you know, something very, very risky, because the Lord belongs to me. There's a possibility that you may become egoistic. "Oh, the Lord belongs to me. So I have the Lord in my pocket and I can dictate anything to the Lord." Actually, it's a tremendous, tremendous responsibility. When you start experiencing the love of God within you, you become so responsible. You become, "Swami, I cannot ask you for this and that." And that's why nowadays my prayer is the best prayer which Swami has taught to all of us is, "Samast loka sukhino bhavantu." Swami, I may not have any problem, but there may be somebody in this whole universe, and what a place is prashanti, and what a place is, you know, the samadhi where Swami Shirdi Baba used to say, "After I give up the body, my bones will speak to you." Right? Do not think that this is just stone. If you think it is just stone, it is, but here is the possibility of your experiencing. And many times in my work, for example, I have found that, you know, I remember 1 year ago, there was an All India strike, postal strike. And we were in the thick of, you know, announcing our postgraduate examination results. And our examiners, we are not able to send them the answer packets. They are not able to post it because All India strike. For 1 week I was waiting. What will I do, Swami? It's an All India strike. Totally uncontrollable variable. And then after waiting for 1 week, I went to Samadhi Mandir and I prayed, "Swami, come June 1st, all the passed out students will be after me." And they said, "Sir, when are the results coming? I'll be getting emails, I'll be getting phone calls. What will I tell them that, you know, there is an All India strike and therefore we cannot get your results processed?" Next day, I'm sitting in my office and our postman comes with a packet to my office to deliver. I called him, "Hey, I thought you were having a postal strike." He said, "Yes, sir, we are two categories of employees. One is the core group, the other is the extra department group. The extra department group is still continuing the strike. The core group has come back to work today. That's why he came with the first post." In the whole of Prashantliam, in the whole of Puttaparthi, in the post office, there are 7 people in the extra department and only 1 person in the core department. And this one person serves the administrative building, so nobody in Puttaparthi will get their post, but our post in the administrative building we are getting. Why? Because his students' answer scripts are involved, and this fellow has come and prayed to me. I tell you, God is alive, God is kicking, God is there with us all the time. In fact, why does Avatar come? Avatar comes to tell us, my dear, I have been there with you always. But we don't experience it, Swami. We don't know how God looks like. And therefore he takes this form. What a beautiful form. You know, enchanting form. And he comes before us and you experience that love. When he says, hey boys, did you get ice creams? Yes, Swami, we got your ice cream. Did you get the Laddu Prasadam? That fellow, you have missed out the Prasadam. Go and give that fellow. And that fellow feels top of the world. Everybody has given Prasadam in the Kulwant Hall, but this fellow has missed out. And Swami calls somebody and says, that fellow you missed out, go and give prasadam to him. He feels, you know, he is top of the world because everybody forgot me, but Swami remembers me. Swami made them give prasadam to me. So to feel that love, to feel that intimacy, you know, God comes down. But that's not enough. A day has to come when Swami loves me. You have to gravitate to the third stage. And what is the third stage? The third stage is that you yourself are Sai. Both of them become one. And it's a process. It cannot happen overnight. But that process starts with, I love Swami. Then you start experiencing Swami loves you. See, it's not that he has stopped loving you in the first stage. First stage also is loving you. But you don't experience. Does Swami really love me? Why did he not take my letter? Why did he not look at me? Why did he not do this for me, do that for me? You know, all those kinds of doubts will be there in our mind. But once you start experiencing that love, you don't have any doubts. You don't have any questions. Your heart knows. Your heart knows. One day I was in Swami's presence. I said, you know, Swami will take care of our future. And immediately Swami stopped me in the middle of my talk. He said, how do you know? How do you know that I will take care of you in the future? And I was really starstruck. My God, how do I know? Sometimes, you know, in statements, we just make off some statement. And I cannot continue my talk. All the students are waiting unless I explain what does this mean. And then these are the words which I dived into myself and Swami allowed me to become aware. See, this is there in you. And what were the words? There are some questions which the head does not have the right to answer. Only the heart can answer. And this is the answer of my heart. That in this life, till this moment, I have seen so many times how much Swami has done for me. Gone beyond the call of duty. When things were impossible, he has done, made it possible. If it has happened till now, the heart says that it will happen in the future also. And the heart says that if there are lives to come, it will happen in those lives as well. So when that stage comes, when there is no two, when both become one, that is the stage which we are graduating to. And that is the stage of PhD, you know. Now we are at different stages of our education at the lotus feet. When that happens, Sai. And that is what Swami wants us to experience. The Lord comes down to give you that experience that you and I are one. I'll end with this last one experience. We were students in the university and Swami one day, he got a strange eye ailment. Reddishness in the eyes which would never disappear. And every day in darshan, we will be looking at him. Did this reddishness go today? And Swami also, when he would come near us, you know, he will close his eyes. So you can see only the black portion. You can't see the white portion. On the black, you can't make out whether it's still red or not. So the white portion, he would make his eyes so small. So we won't know. But he knows that we are looking for it. So one day, suddenly he called and four of us, we went in. And he says, who am I? Who am I? How do you answer him? So we were silent. And then Swami said, you and I are one, he said. You and I are one. He said, see, for so many days, you'll have been worrying about me, about this reddishness of the eyes. See, this is a physical thing. It came naturally. It will go away naturally. But one thing I'm telling you, because you, for 60 years, I have never used my powers for my benefit. It has always been for the benefit of my devotees or students. I have never used my powers for my personal benefit. But because you are worrying about the reddishness of my eye, I give you a solution. Because you and I are one, this body is not mine. You pray to me that I should cure this body, and I promise you that tomorrow it will be done. Stunned, I tell you, undergraduate students in the institute, Swami, we students can pray to you that you please cure your body. Do we have, but you and I are one. I mean, right at that age, he never compromised on the purity of the knowledge that he came to share with us, purity of the awareness that he wanted us to acquire, and that is love. That is his love. So all of us are guaranteed, we are going to experience that, that we are going to become one with Sai. Sai is I and I am one. We are at different stages of the journey, holding each other's hand, looking at each other, taking little inspiration from each other. The journey becomes easier. You know, if you're walking alone, it's a long 10-mile walk, you feel tired, you feel exhausted. But supposing five people get together, they keep sharing with each other, keep sharing their experiences with each other, the journey becomes so much more less tiresome, so much more comfortable. That is what Swami has done for all of us. See, we have collected from all over the world in this summer conference. We used to have summer courses in Vrindavan. Swami has organized this summer conference, and all the time we are thinking about Swami, and from all the deliberations that take place, this whole experience, some inspiration we will take for our day-to-day life. Always aware that not only the people seated here, but every sincere seeker of the Lord, everybody who has ever loved the Lord with his heart and the whole of his heart and the whole of his strength and whole of his mind and whole of his soul, as Jesus said, will experience that what Jesus said, I and my Father are one. To give us that awareness, Swami came to inspire us. Walk! Keep walking! Keep walking! The beauty of the spiritual path is that even if you are going in a wrong direction, God will see to it that you come back on the right track, because the only thing which is the compass in the spiritual life is your heart. If your heart is in the right place, everything else the Lord will do for you. Thank you. Sai Ram.
Okay, thank you so much for the wonderful talk and beautiful lessons. Just have two questions, so I'll ask that because I think it'll be valuable for all of us. The first one is a question to you, sir. Having spent so much time in his physical presence and proximity, getting a lot of personal direction directly, the living with Sai has become very internal at this point. It used to be external. How has that graduation been for you? Or the transition been for you? How do you continue to get your guidance from him?
So the first thing, especially the stage of my spiritual journey today, you know, I led a very, very intense life living in the hostel with the students for 33 years. It's not a small duration of time, you know. It was a very, very hectic life. And because either it's their food problem, or it is their health problem, or their academic problem, or their spiritual problem, or their family problem, personal problem, anything. For a teacher in Swami's educational institution, the life of a teacher and the life of a student becomes one, you know. So it was a very, very intense life. Today, I don't stay in the hostel because my duty requires that I should maintain a little distance from the students. And so I have a lot of time personally for myself, and it's a very special time, because if you don't use this time well, one can also go astray. So it is so important that you keep yourself connected with Swami. And as I said, there are many ways in which I keep myself connected. One is to read Sai literature. That has been my passion from my school days. The second thing is that once You know, I remember when I went from Prashantalayam to Vrindavan, I was like, literally like a fish out of water. I spent 11 years at Prashanti before I moved to Vrindavan. Because in Prashantalayam, you lived on the diet of daily darshan. When you go to Vrindavan, Swami would come there. Of course, sometimes we would come to Prashantalayam. But he would come there maybe once a year or twice a year. So the whole year you're literally waiting. When will Swami come? When will Swami come? So the life of somebody in Vrindavan was a life of yearning. You know, you're waiting, waiting for the Lord. Now that's also a beautiful phase in life. But especially when the transition took place, it was literally miserable. I mean, anybody who has lived in Parthi, especially, for example, when Swami gave up the body, I mean, people staying in Prashantalayam were devastated. People who were far away perhaps also felt, but not as people who lived. Because, you know, you lived on that diet. Your whole life revolves around that. So, the first few months, it so happened I moved, I think, in early July, Swami came after Guru Purnima and he stayed till October. So that was wonderful. And every day he would call us to Trai. So that was very, very special, going every day to his residence. But then after the birthday, it was again back. You know, you feel so lonely. Swami is in Parthi and I am here. And then something beautiful happened. Every day when I would return to my room, one student would come and say, "Sir, please tell me something about Swami." And so I would start narrating about whatever my experiences are. And it would become 6 o'clock, 6:15 in the evening. And our evening bhajans would start at 6:30. Every day some new student would come. And it went on for days together, weeks together, and almost 1.5 months before we came again in January for the sports meet. And that phase of my life, I realized, wow, to be with Swami is equal to being in the thought of Sai. You know, thinking of his experiences, narrating his experiences. So that is something which keeps me immensely connected to Swami. I keep sharing my experiences with people. They also, you know, share their experiences. And we both feel energized. So that is something which keeps me. In fact, one Swami said, he was speaking to students. He said, "How will you share, you show your gratitude to me?" And then he said, "With me, living with me, you have had wonderful experiences. Sacred feelings have emerged in your heart. Share it with others. That is your gratitude to me." So today, my life is connected to Swami through remembering his experience. I take great delight in the experiences of his devotees. And I also recall in the process my own experiences. So that's what keeps me connected.
The last question. Having become Swami's devotee after his samadhi and having heard of others' experiences of Swami's miracles, I pine to experience these miracles in my life too. How can I proceed further in devotion from this state of being stuck looking for miracles?
See, one thing I can share based on people who have seen Swami, who have interacted with him. The craze for miracles will never end in one's life. Swami used to say miracles are like a mosquito sitting on an elephant. That is what miracles are in my scheme of things, in my mission. Of course, one loves to see, you know, Vibhuti came in somebody's house in the photograph. Swami, how nice it would be if it came in my photograph also. Right? But if somebody's photograph Vibhuti has manifested, why can't you enjoy it? See, once, I'll tell you, this was an occupational problem for the people who were contemporaries of the avatar. For example, students. Swami will talk to some students, he will not talk to some students. So those whom he doesn't talk to, they feel miserable. Swami calls some devotees for an interview, some people he will not call for an interview, and everybody feels, "Swami, my problem is very, very acute, you must call me for an interview." Sometimes, "Swami, you called him for an interview. Why I can't be called for an interview?" You know, so we compare with each other and we feel miserable. So one day, the warden asked Swami, "Swami, the students feel that you talk to some, you don't talk to others. So what should they do?" Swami said, "See, if I talk to somebody, it is their purva janma sukritam. The spiritual merit that they have accumulated over several lives, because of which it bears fruition in terms of my coming and talking to them. But one, so that means, Swami, I don't have any punyam, I don't have any spiritual merit, that means I cannot talk to you." So Swami said, "But I'll give you one clue. If I talk to somebody and you feel very, very happy that I have talked to that person, rest assured that tomorrow I will come and talk to you. And I will share with you one experience. Once Swami was not looking at the student, not talking to them. If he comes in darshan line, he'll go away, you know, miles from them. And then this academic year had just started. I was praying to Swami. I was a young teacher in the institute. I said, "Swami, if you don't talk to them, you know, what will happen to the students? They have left their parents, come from so far away, come to your lotus feet and you're not looking at them, you're not talking to them." It was a Sunday morning darshan and we had come to the mandir. That day, Swami started talking to each and every student. Almost every second student he picked up in the darshan line, he was talking to him. And I saw that sight and I was so happy that, "Swami, you're talking to the students today. What a blessing." He finished that round and then he came to the mandir portico and he started talking even there. And I was sitting right at the back. From the middle of the portico, he suddenly looked at me and called me. So I thought something important, so I rushed to his lotus feet. I said, "Swami." He said, "What subject do you teach?" Totally, I didn't understand what is the context. I said, "Swami, I teach accounting." "Ah, take namaskar." And I took namaskar. I couldn't understand what happened. I went back. And then it dawned on me, I was so happy that Swami was seeing all of them being talked to, that, you know, Swami recognized that and he came and talked to me. So the fruit of being happy that he talked to so many, he blessed so many, that fruit I got. And that same experience I have today. You know, when people say, "See, today we are not able to see Swami, we are not..." I said, "What is this?" In the month of May, we had the Asian Youth Pilgrimage Meet at Prashanti. And I happened to be a speaker there, and over lunch or dinner, I was interacting with some of them. And one of the boys, he shared this experience. He said, "You know, I was talking to this auntie I know. She's from Jakarta, Indonesia. And she had come with a daughter who was a participant in the youth pilgrimage meet. And one day morning, she gets up about 2-3 days before Buddha Purnima. She gets up in the morning in her room and she's having acute spinal pain. Pain in the back. And she was, "Swami, this is unbearable." And her daughter was depending on her mother, because I think the dress code was sari or something. And she was depending on her mother to help her to wear the sari. And mother is in this pain. With great difficulty, the mother helped the daughter to wear the sari and sent her for the inaugural function, whatever was there. And here, you know, she is crying in the room. At that moment, when she was all alone, Swami manifested in the room. And this boy was asking her, "Auntie, are you sure that you are not dreaming? Are you sure you are not hallucinating? Are you sure you are not imagining?" "No, I saw Swami in the room." And, you know, I asked him, "Swami, can I have Pad Namaskar?" And he said, "Take." And I bent down to take Namaskar and I felt that gap between the big toe and the, you know, the next toe. I felt that gap also when I was taking Pad Namaskar. And the next thing that happened to her, she fainted off at Swami's feet. And after half an hour, when she comes back from that faint, two things happen. One, she finds that Swami is no longer in the room. Second, her pain has disappeared. For the first time, she has been coming to Swami for 40 years. For the first time in 40 years, she got a Pad Namaskar from Swami. I ask myself, how many Pad Namaskars have you taken from the Lord? And still you want one more Pad Namaskar? Swami, please come and give me Pad Namaskar. Enjoy the experience. I said, you know, because I stay in the next building. I said, "Wow, somebody in the next building, Swami came and gave darshan and gave Pad Namaskar. I feel so, so happy." So feel happy when others are happy experiencing the Lord. Don't expect that a miracle will come. That miracle is ours. You know, I met... When I went in the month of May, I went to Malaysia and I met Of course, she comes to Prashanti every week. 2012, this judge from Hong Kong, she comes, Sister Isabella, she comes. For the first time she came and she has been visiting Prashanti every week. Can you believe? From Hong Kong. She leaves Hong Kong in the night on Friday. She reaches Prashanti early morning in the ashram at 3 a.m. She dresses up. At 4 a.m. she goes to the mandir, attends the Omkar, Suprabhatam. After that, she'll go and attend the Nagar Sankirtan. Then she comes back to the Mandir and attends the Linga Puja. After that, she'll go and attend the Vedam. Then she will attend the Bhajan. And then I think she waits till the curtain closes at 10:30. You know, she's all the time in the Mandir. And next day, again in the evening, and then in the evening, after the evening program is over, she goes back and doing it week after week. She has, I think, visited Prashantalayam for more than 80 times since 2012. Somebody who has never ever seen a Lord. I ask myself, what is it which, you know, is inspiring this individual to come like this? In fact, somebody asked her this question and she was sharing with us in the conference. She said that people ask me, why do I go to Prashanti? I said, it's my mom's place, my dad's place. Why should I not go there? Look at that sentiment. And see, our ashram authorities were sharing, they got a query from the government of India, from our intelligence. Why is this Hong Kong judge, a Chinese, coming to Prashanti Nilayam? RAW, India's intelligence agency, right? And our ashram people said, she's an ardent devotee of Swami. That's why she is coming. The government of India did not stop there. They asked the Indian consulate in Hong Kong, please find out from this lady, why is she coming? And then, you know, when they investigated, they said, hey, how come you have a multi-entry visa? You're not supposed to be coming like this. And how did you get this visa? And you know, they took an interview and she's telling all about Swami. What are you going and doing in Prashanti every week, you know? And she's telling all that to them. And she was so afraid, and she was telling me that I was so afraid, Swami, they'll take away my multi-entry visa and I will not be able to come to Prashanti like I am able to come. And finally, when the visa was issued, it was again a multi-entry visa. A Chinese who has never seen Swami, a Christian by faith, a woman by personality. I was telling our students at Anandpur, what is it which drives her to come? That is the love for the Lord. And it is to see that love that, you know, Swami is keeping us wide awake. Hey, you all think you love me? Look at these people. And that is why this beautiful episode, conversation between Thomas and Jesus. You know, when the resurrection of Christ takes place, he manifests before some of his disciples. All of them are stupefied. All of them are in ecstasy. But Thomas tells, Master, will you please permit me one concession I want? What is it, Thomas? Jesus asked. He said, I want to just feel your wounds. He says, come, experience it. And he goes to the body of Jesus and he touches the spear where the, you know, the soldiers have speared in his hands, in his chest. And he sees that they are alive. And then Thomas says, Master, I believe, Master, I believe. And you know what Jesus says? Blessed are you, Thomas, who have seen and believed. But even more blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. So today, you know, the people who have not seen the Lord, when I see their devotion, when I see their love, I said, Swami, did we really love you? Do we really love you? What are we compared to these people? How intensely they love you, even though they never had the chance to interact with you, never had the chance to see with physical eyes. But God is there for all of us. And God will have His own ways of blessing. Don't put conditions to Swami. Don't compare in spiritual power. Don't compare yourself with anybody else. You are unique for the Lord. And God will give you something. If He delays, remember His delays are not His denials. He will give you something which even your wildest dreams could not have imagined. Jai Sai Ram.
Kiss विद तुम्हें पुकारू भगवन प्यारे मेरे साईं। किस विद तुम्हें पुकारू भगवन प्यारे मेरे साईं। राधे श्याम हो सीता राम हो रहीमन हो या राम।
राधे श्याम हो सीता राम हो रहीमन हो या राम।
राधे श्याम हो सीता राम हो रहीमन हो सब है एक समान।
हिंदू हो या मुस्लिम हो सब है एक समान।
मेरे बाबा के लिए मुसलमान और हिंदू तो नयन समान। मुस्लिम हो सब है एक समान।
हिंदू हो या मुस्लिम हो सब है एक समान।
मेरे बाबा के लिए मुसलमान और हिंदू दो नयन समान। राधे श्याम हो सीता राम हो रहीमन हो या राम।
राधे श्याम हो सीता राम हो रहीमन हो या राम।
राधे श्याम हो सीता राम हो रहीमन हो या राम।
राधे श्याम हो सीता राम हो रहीमन हो या राम।
किस विद तुम्हें पुकारू भगवन प्यारे मेरे साईं।
किस विद तुम्हें
राधे श्याम हो सीता राम हो रहीमन हो या राम।
राधे श्याम हो सीता राम हो रहीमन हो या राम।
किस विद तुम्हें पुकारू भगवन प्यारे मेरे साईं।
भगवन प्यारे मेरे साईं।
हरे
अभयंकरा
शंकरा
Buddha Mahavir Naam Bajo
सर्वधर्म प्रिय साई भज
सर्वधर्म प्रिय साई भज
एक है साई नाम भजो
एक है साई नाम भजो
एक है साई नाम भजो
एक है साई
राम भजो रहीम भजो